I'm going to read a passage to you tonight. This passage, as we read it, is not your normal common missionary text. But we're going to use this as a springboard tonight. There's a phrase in here tonight that goes with your conference that I believe will help us tonight. It will strengthen us tonight, I believe. And so bear with me this evening. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to start in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And his disciples say unto him, If the case of a man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." And of course, Jesus was talking about Pharisees came to him about the bill of divorcement. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given." Verse number 12, "For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we come to you this evening with thanksgiving and rejoicing for who you are and what you've done in our lives and for this dear place and, Lord, this pastor and his family and the church and, Lord, how you blessed here and sent out men and women from this place to go and be missionaries or translate the Bible or to work in other areas. And, Lord, we're here this week as your humble servants and asking that we would hear again from you. Lord, we need to hear from our God. But we need fresh bread from the ovens of heaven tonight. Lord, we've had a good meal. We've had great food. But Lord, we need to hear from you tonight. And Lord, I beg you, I plead with you, I plead the blood tonight that God, you would use this time and give us something that we could chew on, something that we could tuck in our hearts and maybe make some decisions this week. And Lord, I don't know what you would do this week. And maybe you would call somebody into missions, maybe to help one of these missionaries. Maybe you would lead people to raise their support and to give more to missions so that the gospel could go further than they've ever taken it before. Maybe, Lord, you would do something in my own heart that, God, you would like to do and minister to us this evening. Lord, I love you tonight. I give you glory. Use me for your service, and Lord, will you receive all the praise tonight? I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. What motivates you? What really motivates you? There's a lot of motives in what we do. We are passionate people. We like to do things. We like to get involved in stuff. Maybe you're passionate about your job. Maybe you're passionate about sports. Maybe you're passionate about something in your life. Tonight I was pretty passionate about food, and that was a great meal tonight. And so we're passionate about different things. And tonight I'd like to ask you the question, what motivates that passion? What motivates you this evening? Oftentimes competition may motivate us. Competition, when we get in competition, that kind of motivates us to do things. Last week I was in a missions conference and they had a penny war in the midst of the missions conference, and they had kids bringing pennies, and it was boys against girls, and I'm telling you, they were motivated. I mean, they were sucking the change out of everybody, bringing up pennies, and they had buckets. They not only filled one bucket, but they had to get another bucket, and then they had another bucket. There were three buckets for the boys and three buckets for the girls, and that competition motivated them. Accomplishments motivate us, doesn't it? We like to accomplish things in life. Maybe you have some goals, and those goals help you to accomplish or to motivate you in some areas. Maybe it's financially is a motivation to you because you get more funds or you get more compensation. You're motivated maybe to work more hours or do more things. Maybe your family motivates you, your children, your grandchildren. I've got one grandchild this year, finally got a grandchild. And that motivates us. We're motivated in a different way than we have in the past. And so our grandchildren or our family motivates us or gives us reason or directs our paths because of motives. Maybe it is your care for others. motivates you. And many people are motivated because they want to help others, or they want to be hospitable, or they want to help others. And so there's all kinds of reasons that motivate us. And oftentimes, our motivation is the fuel which powers us to go forward and to not quit and to not give up. And so what motivates you tonight? What motivates us in this area of our Christian walk with Christ? Or even better, talking about this week, what motivates us for missions? What motivates us to give? What motivates us to send people out? What is the motivation behind that? And we can look at the needs, and the needs do motivate us. You know, we look at these great presentations, and we get reports back from missionaries, and that stokes our fire, and we like to hear those things. But will that motivation, will those people, will those souls that we see really carry us through? Will that help us to give all through the year? Will that help us to be on our knees? Will that help us? Will that be the motivation that we need? Or is there a higher motivation from the Word of God that we could see tonight that will help us? In this story that Jesus gives, this illustration, we find some people that were motivated. And the Bible says here, they're called eunuchs, and I won't get into the context of this. I don't want to get too deep in this area. But the Bible says that there were some eunuchs by birth, and there were some eunuchs that were made that way by man. And so they didn't have a choice. But there were others that became eunuchs in this area because of a different reason. And the Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven's sake. For the kingdom of heaven's sake. So they made a change in their life. They went down a different direction. They altered some things in their life for the sole purpose and for the reason of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we look at this word, and this word is up here on your screen tonight. The Bible says, for the sake of His name. The sake. And so tonight we're going to look at this little four-letter word, the word sake, S-A-K-E. And we're going to trickle through the Word of God, and we're going to see motivation tonight based on this word. If we looked up the word sake in the dictionary, we would simply see that it means to benefit, or in interest of, or for the purpose of, or the motivation of, or for the advantage of, or for the good of, or for the welfare of. And what this was saying is these people did something in their life for the benefit, for the motivation, for the advantage of heaven. Heaven was increased, or it had advantage because of what these people did in their lives. What happened was these people said no to the temporal, said yes to the eternal. They said no to their will and yes to His will. They said no to their desires and yes to His desires. They said no to their enjoyment and yes to His enjoyment. They said no to their plans and said yes to His plans for exchange that heaven would get an advantage. Amen? That's exciting. These people in this illustration were willing to alter their life so that heaven got the upper hand, so that heaven got an advantage, so that heaven would be promoted. You see, they altered some things, they changed some things, they abandoned some things for heaven's sake. Let me ask you a question tonight. As we're in this missions conference and we're seeing these presentations and we're thinking about what God wants us to do, what are you willing to do for heaven's sake? What are we willing to change this week for heaven's sake? What are we willing to alter in our lives so that heaven receives the advantage? For the motives of heaven. Now go with me to another passage tonight. We're going to go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Here's another area where we would find this little word, the word sake. Mark chapter number 4. Well, we know this passage, and I won't go through all the details, but we know this as the seed and the sower. A sower went out to sow, and he cast seed, and there were four different grounds. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And so here the sower goes out, and he throws on this certain ground, and the seed didn't get very deep, but the sun came out. And we would understand in this passage that the sun is a natural process. The seed needed that sun. The seed needed that to grow and to germinate and to bear fruit. And so we understand that this is a natural process of the sun. Now, look with me in verse number 16 and 17. Here's what Jesus says about this type of ground. He says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in them, and so endure for a time afterwards when affliction and a persecution ariseth. Okay, that's the same illustration as the sun coming up. Persecution and affliction coming up, it's a natural process. It's going to come in our lives. It's what the seed needs. And the Bible says the next four words in verse number 16, after it says, verse number 17, after he says, affliction and persecution arises, the Bible says, for the word's sake. You see, that persecution came in so that the word would get germinated. That persecution comes in our lives so that word bears fruit. It's necessary. It's needful. And so here we have in this passage, for the word's sake, or for the benefit, or for the purpose, or the interest, or the advantage, or the good of the word, persecution came. Can I say tonight, what are you doing this in this missions conference? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up for heaven's sake? What are we willing to endure for the word's sake? So that the word grows, so that the word germinates, so the word gets to Australia, so the word gets to India, so that the word gets to Mexico, so the word gets to the world. What are we willing to endure? What is our motive? And here we have a motive for the sake of the word. That's motive. That's why. That's the reason that God brings that persecution or affliction in our lives. It's for the word's sake. Now go with me to another passage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 17. We see the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. And here we find the Apostle Paul, and probably the greatest missions examples that we find here in the Bible. One of the first two missionaries that were sent out of Antioch, the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul talks to us tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17 and 23. Let's drop down to verse number 19. Paul says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Why, Paul? What's the motivation? Why do you want to become all things to all men? The Bible says in verse 23, and this I do, for the gospel's sake. For the sake of the gospel, so that the gospel can go out, so the gospel can have an advantage, so the gospel can go before us, so the gospel can get to those people that need the Word of God. Hey, I'm willing to change some things in my life. I'm willing to change who I am and what I'd like to be. You know, Paul was a scholar. Paul was a smart man. Paul could have done a lot of things in his life, but he took the nameplate off of his high-ranking positions and became a servant to the servants, and he became a Jew to the Jews, and he served people, and he said, I'll become whatever I need to do for the motivation, for the purpose, for the reason, so that the gospel. Folks, what are we doing so that the gospel goes out? What are we changing in our... What is our motivation to get involved this year in missions? What is our motivation to get a Bible in the languages of the people? What is our motivation to make sure that people are reached not just over the world, but even our own country? Are we motivated by heaven's sake? Are we motivated by the Word's sake? Are we motivated for the sake of the gospel? Is that not reason enough to get involved? I think it is. I think that's awfully good reason. I think those are reasons that'll carry us through hard times, that'll carry us through difficulties, that'll carry us through troubles. The reason or the purpose or the motivation of what we do is for heaven's sake, for the Word's sake, for the gospel's sake. Paul was willing to become other things. He was willing to be all things to all men that by all means save some. It was for the sake of the gospel. Matthew chapter 5, quickly turn with me there. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 2. We won't read through all of this, but Matthew chapter number 5 gives us another motivation tonight. Matthew chapter 5. We find, get to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we find the Beatitudes, and blessed are they that mourn and hunger and seek after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. And we get down to verse number 10, and the Bible says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say of all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For my sake. That's motivation. That's reason for going through persecution. There's people without the gospel, yes. There's people that need the Lord, yes. There's people that are lost, yes. There's an eternity to reckon with, yes. But it's because of His name's sake. It's because of His sake. It's because of righteousness' sake. We stand up and we serve the Lord and we work with kids and we run a bus route and we go have a Sunday school class and we preach the gospel. And we play instruments and we have choir practice. It's not just for our benefit. It's just not for lower reason. It's for His name's sake. It's for His glory. It's for righteousness to be known. And that it would have the advantage. You know, we like to have the advantage. I fly, you know, here and there. And I like these advantage points, don't you? I like to get in a closer seat. I like to have a little more room. I like to build those things. And I like to, when I get on a plane, have some type of advantage. But I tell you what, it's even better when you step out of the way and you do something for God and you make a decision in your life so that the gospel can go out in front of you and the gospel can be preeminent and the Word of God can be preeminent and that heaven gets rejoicing and God gets the glory because you are willing to step aside and to put away your thoughts and your actions and your abilities and your wants and your hopes and your finances so that heaven gets that advantage, so that the Word can get the advantage, so the gospel can go forth, so that His name may be known among the nations. That's our, you know what, if the nations don't know who Dale Money is, they're not missing anything. But if they don't know who Christ is, they're missing it all. They'll spend an eternity wishing that someone went, that somebody came, that somebody knocked on my door. It's for heaven's sake, it's for my name's sake, it's for righteousness' sake. Let me give you two more real quickly. Acts chapter 9, and I'll close. Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. I'll give you this very quickly. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Here we have once again Christ talking here in this passage, and he's sharing with, he wants Paul to understand something. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, he's talking to Ananias in this passage, and he says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That was the reason. He was to suffer. He was to go out. He was to be before kings. He was to go out before the Gentiles and represent the name of the Lord. It was for his name's sake, not Paul's name's sake. It was for Christ's name's sake. You say, Brother Money, what should motivate us tonight? What should motivate us to get more involved? What should motivate us to get behind in missions? What should motivate us to say, Lord, here am I, send me? There's a lot of motivations in the world. There's a lot of reasons that we can plug into. But I tell you, the best reasons are right here in the Bible. For heaven's sake, for the gospel's sake, for the word's sake, for his name's sake, for his sake, for righteousness' sake. Let me give you this last one. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. And you know it well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. Here's some motivation. Here's some motive. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a motivation. Christ left all of heaven. Christ left all the praise of the angels. Christ left everything he had. He put everything on hold. He was not with the Father in his presence in heaven for 33 plus years. He set all that aside. He was born in a manger. Grew up and he was mocked and he was scoffed and he was beaten and he was bruised and they put nails in his hands. They put a crown of thorns in his on his head and they made him like what was said last night, unrecognizable. Nobody could understand that he was even a person. They beat him so bad. Why did he do that? How can he came? How can he gave so much? How can he put things to the side? It was for your sake, for my sake. He came. He became who he was rich became poor for my sake, that through him I might become rich. Amen. That I might become a child of God. That's why he came. That was motivation, you and I. And you know what? If he'd do that for me, he'd do that for those in Australia. He'd do those for those folks in India. He'd do those for those folks in Mexico. He'd do those things for the person down your street, or the little boy down the road from you, or that little girl next to you. You know what, folks? That's great motivation. If Christ would do this for you, what's our motivation for him? That ought to motivate us. His motivation for me ought to motivate me to reciprocate that and praise and honor. I was in the prisons in Africa several years ago. And I've been there a couple of times. And this second time I was there, we were preaching in different prisons. And their prisons aren't like ours. There is no comforts in those prisons. And I could go and describe this, but I won't do that. We were there preaching in prisons, and I took my teenage son with me, Aaron, and we were there, and we were working all day, and we were handing out scriptures in the prisons and handing out John and Romans, just like you folks put together. We were handing those things out to the people. And we got back that evening, and I was tired. I was wore out. And Aaron wanted to go off the room and kind of rest for a little bit and decompress. So I kind of sat out there in the lobby of this hotel, and there was a restaurant in the hotel, but it kind of bled out into the lobby. And there was a table next to me. I was just kind of in the lobby, and there was a table back here in the corner. And they were being served food, and this waiter would come in and out. And I was just sitting there. I had my Bible in my hands, and a buddy off the trip came down. So I just set the Bible there, and we were talking back and forth. And this waiter finished up over here, and the people left. And he came through to clean up, and he stopped right in front of me. And he looked at me, and this was our conversation verbatim. He looked at me and he said, "Sir, is that a Bible?" I was a little taken back, to be honest with you. I really didn't know what to expect. I was a little tired and kind of off my game. And I looked at him. I said, "Yes, sir, that's a Bible." And this is what he said verbatim. He said, "Sir, I want to be saved right now. I want to be saved right now." And for the next 20 minutes, I took the Bible and I sat there and I explained to him about the gospel and wanted to make sure he was clear on it. And about 20 minutes, that Kenyan young man got on his knees and he cried out to God in the middle of that restaurant, middle of that hotel. And he said, "God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior." And that day, that young Kenyan man trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. But that was because of people that gave. That was because people supported the ministry. That was because folks put together the John and Romans. That was because those that were in a missions conference decided to put some things away in their life so that someone else could go into a place and meet a guy that just happened to be walking by and saw a Bible and got saved. You know, folks, there's all kinds of motivations. But what are you doing for heaven's sake? What are you willing to do for the word's sake? What are we doing for the gospel's sake? What are we doing? What are we willing, decisions are we willing to make this week for his name's sake? Isn't he worth it? He thought you were worth it. And he's worth it. What are we going to do for his name's sake?